Good evening. It's good to be here and to see you. And I'm going to take this time to say what a blessing. Today was a blessing to be with my family and to be a father. And I'm thankful for my father and my father-in-law and the men who have been godly examples in this church. I've been asked to read from John 18. 38, verse 38, through chapter 19, verse 16. Starting at John 18, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Let's kneel for prayer.
I greet each of you this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know if I can say this without keeping it together, but I thank Brother Glenn for who he chose to have opening devotions. It meant a lot to me to sit here with my son-in-law. And I happen to think of 2 John, where John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. What a great blessing it is for us as fathers and father-in-laws and ministers when we find our children walking in the truth. Now, thank you, Brother Glenn, for that Father's Day gift to me. Tonight we'd like to continue on with our study of Jesus before Pilate. You know, it's amazing what we can learn in a few short hours on one Friday morning that Jesus met and interacted with Pilate. There are so many truths wrapped up in this. The first sermon in the series We looked at the fact that Jesus was delivered to Pilate by God. It was a plan, Scripture says, of the Lamb that was slain before the creation of the world. It was a plan of God to offer, to have His Son be the sacrifice for our sins. It was no accident. It was not at the hands of the Roman government. It was no triumph of evil. It was no victory of Satan, but it was a plan of God. Jesus Christ to be the Lamb slain before the creation of the world. The second night was, it was a morning. The second morning, we looked at Jesus as King. Jesus as King. We see that clearly here in the account of Jesus before Pilate. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He has a kingdom. He has a kingdom, and he has servants in his kingdom. He has citizens of the kingdom. We looked a little about what that means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the fact that Jesus is truth, and the world struggles today, doesn't it, to know what is truth? What is truth? But we know from Scripture that we can know the truth. We don't need to be deceived. We do not need to walk in darkness, but we can know the truth. And we see that clearly here in the Scriptures of Jesus before Pilate. Tonight we'd like to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is our sinless, innocent substitute. These are major doctrines of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ was innocent, he was faultless, he was sinless, and that he was our substitute. And it comes out clearly here in the trial before Pilate. We'd like to go verse by verse through this account, so if you want to keep your Bibles open to John 18, verse 38 is where we'd like to begin. John 18, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? We talked about that last Sunday evening. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Hear the verdict as it rings down through the centuries. Jesus Christ is innocent. Here we hear it proclaimed by a Roman judge. Jesus Christ is innocent. Not only is he not guilty of the crimes that were charged against him, but here Pilate says, I find in him no fault at all. No fault at all. Jesus Christ, the faultless one. Jesus Christ, the guiltless one. Jesus Christ, the innocent one. Here a pagan judge in a foreign court of law decrees one of the great doctrines of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is innocent, sinless, no fault at all. This is also declared by God in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says Christ knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says Christ was without sin. Hebrews 7:26 says Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. 1 Peter 2:21 says, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, in who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He was sin. He was without sin, and no guile was found in his mouth. He was the innocent one, the faultless one. Clearly taught here in Scripture. But now Pilate has a problem, doesn't he? Pilate has a big problem. He knows Jesus Christ is innocent. But he knows the Jews, the religious leaders of the day, were pressing hard. They were demanding Jesus' death. The Romans were demanding and pressing him to keep the peace. They didn't want trouble with the Jewish leaders, and here was Pilate in the middle. I believe it's at this point, not recorded in John's gospel, but if you turn to Luke's gospel, Luke 23, I believe it's here, at this point in the account, that Pilate finds out that Jesus is from Galilee, and so he knows Herod's in town, and he sends him over to Herod. It was his out. It was his out. It was ways to deal with the problem. Luke 23, verse 4. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at this time. We remember this is the time of the Passover. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So if you remember from the last couple of times, Jesus faced three trials at the hands of the religious leaders, and here we see he faced three trials at the hands of the Roman government. He was at Pilate. Pilate sent him to Herod, and then Herod sends him back again to Pilate. So Pilate didn't get rid of his problem at all. Jesus was back in his court again. Pilate has his problem back. But then he thinks of another way out. He thinks of another way out. He thinks of the custom that they have, a tradition that they would release a prisoner at Passover. I'm back in John 18 now, verse 39. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? But they cried, then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. And now Barabbas was a robber. You see, Pilate found another way out, a possible way out from condemning this innocent man. Perhaps they could release him. And with an appeal, he asked the people, Shall I release unto you the King of the Jews? And here we see another truth about Jesus Christ, that he was our substitute. He was our substitute. We see it clearly here. Guilty man, Barabbas, was set free. And an innocent man, Jesus Christ, suffers. Who was Barabbas? It says here he was a robber. The Gospel of Luke says he was guilty of sedition, which means treason or insurrection. Jesus was accused of being an insurrectionist, one that stirred up trouble. But here was a true man that was stirring up treason, a true guilty man, and he was set free. Luke also says he was a murderer. Matthew said he was notable, which means notorious. He was well known to be an evil man. He was well known to be a sinful man. Barabbas, the guilty one, the sinner, was set free. And Jesus, the innocent one, the faultless one, suffered. We know from this scripture that it was the religious leaders at the time that stirred up the crowd. Mark 5:11 says the chief priests were moved or stirred up. Matthew 27:20 says the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude to ask for Barabbas. I don't know how many were the multitude. You recall this was very, very early in the morning, just as the sun was coming up when Jesus was taken to Pilate. I don't know what the multitude consisted of or how many of it is, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude to ask for Barabbas. As I thought of that account, sort of wondered me what became of Barabbas. Tried to do a little research and I couldn't find anything on him. I don't believe Scripture says, and I don't know that history records anything. What did you think that Barabbas did when he was released? Do you think out of curiosity he followed Jesus to the cross to see what would happen to the one that took his place? Or do you think he just shrugged it off and ran out of town? Jesus, the innocent one, suffers, and Barabbas, the guilty one, goes free. There's a thought from my childhood, an account that happened to me in school, that makes me think of this, and it's stuck in my mind all these years. I was in the second grade, and we boys were teasing the girls, and perhaps doing things we shouldn't have been doing. And the teacher found out about it, and the one girl we were tormenting was brought into the classroom. And the teacher said, "Now you point out the boy that was doing that to you." And I don't know why. She didn't point to me. I was the guilty one. But she pointed to another boy in the class. I don't know if she was confused. I don't know why to this day, and I still think about it. Here I sat, guilty, waiting for the finger to be pointed at me. And it was pointed at some other boy. Whether he was also guilty, I don't know. But I know I was. I think of that still to this day. There sat the guilty one that went free, and an innocent boy, I assume, got punished in my place. So how did Barabbas do, or what did he do? I don't know. But it certainly reminds me of each one of us as sinners, doesn't it? Barabbas, the guilty one, goes free, and Jesus, the innocent one, suffers. Don't miss the name Barabbas. I think it's significant. I don't know what his first name was. If you look it up and do a little research, some scholars think that his first name was Jesus, Joshua. But certainly his surname, his last name, Barabbas, you know what Bar means? Bar is son of Abba, son of the Father. Was Barabbas' name Jesus or Joshua? Son of the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, was chosen to suffer, and Barabbas, son of the Father, was allowed to leave, was let go. You see, once again, Pilate's way was blocked. Turn, if you would, back to Matthew. We'll continue the account in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Verse 21, Matthew 27, verse 21. And the governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they crowd out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And so once again, we see Pilate's way was blocked. He had an innocent man, and he couldn't weasel out of making the decision. Back in John 19, verse 1. And so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate had this innocent man on his hands, and he tried one last thing. He said, Maybe if I beat this man, it'll be enough. Maybe when they see him bloody and beaten, their bloodlust will be appeased. Maybe it'll be enough. And so you know the account. You've heard many sermons about the severe whipping our Lord took, with whips, leather straps with metal and bone embedded in them. And with each stripe, flesh was cut from the bone. Do you see the reserve of the Gospels? It amazes me. With those three words, and they scourged him. All that's contained therein. And so after that, in verse 4, after Jesus was beaten, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth unto you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. He stood Jesus beaten in front of the crowd, hoping it would soften hearts. Hoping when they looked upon this man, this innocent man, it would soften their hearts. And he says, Behold the man. Look at this man that I've beaten. Does it do anything to your heart at all? Look at this man as he stands before you. He's innocent. I find no fault in him at all. But I've beaten him. There he stands with flesh, ribbons of flesh, hewed from the bone. Look at him, they say. Look at him. Behold the man. I ask you to do that tonight. Behold the man. Picture in your mind this innocent man. Beaten. The question goes through our mind, doesn't it? Why? Why? Why would an innocent man allow himself to be beaten? Do you think it went through the mind of Barabbas? Why? I hope it's on your mind tonight. As you look upon the man, behold the man, as you gaze upon Jesus Christ, condemned and beaten. God gives us the answer to that question, why, in Scripture. And as I read these verses, look for the words, you and we, because that's the reason. You, we. 1 Peter 1:18, For as much as you know that you, were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, But ye were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed. Behold the man standing before you for your redemption. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also hath once delivered... I'm sorry, I'll start over. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us, it says, you and me, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The word us, he stood there and allowed himself to be beaten, and he died on that cross for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, you and me, might be made right, might be made the righteousness of God in him. The key word to the why question is you and me. That's why. That's why. Mark 10:45, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Give his life a ransom for many. Pilate says here, Behold the man. Behold the man beaten. Behold the man humiliated. Behold the man mocked. Oh, how he hoped it would soften their hearts. Can anything be more lovely? Can anything more be appealing? Can anything work on the heart of man than someone that loves you enough to take a beating for you? Someone that's willing to suffer for you. And perhaps that's what Pilate thought would melt the hearts of the religious leaders. But the reply was incredible, wasn't it? Look at verse 6 of John 19, verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, were their hearts softened at all when they beheld the beaten man? They cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate, out of options, said to them, he said, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have the power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat, in the places called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto him, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. We say, how can anyone, can it be that anyone could have that heart of heart? Can it be that anyone's heart is that full of hatred for a man? even if they didn't believe he was king, wouldn't their common compassion and mercy take hold? Can it be that anyone would be so filled with bitterness, so completely overtaken with sin, that they could look on a beaten man and cry for his death? They did. And they cry out, "He's not our king. We don't want him. We don't want anything to do with him. We don't need him. Away with him. Crucify him." So many truths here about who Jesus Christ is in those short 2 hours that he spent with Pilate. In tonight's text, we see he was innocent. He was faultless. He was guiltless. But he suffered for the guilty. He was a substitute for the guilty. Can any of you tonight behold the man, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, beaten, suffering, dying as your substitute, and not be moved, and not be moved to want to love him more, to want to follow him more, to want to obey him more, to want to live for your king? Here the Pharisees cried out, "We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. We have want nothing to do with this innocent man." I pray that each of you should go about this week, have opportunity to remember that Jesus Christ was innocent and that Jesus Christ was our substitute. May God bless you.
Let's kneel for prayer.